If you open your Bible just a few minutes, 2 Kings chapter 5. I thought maybe this would take on with what we've been hearing this morning. 2 Kings chapter 5. What's on my heart just to give you three men. The first man gives us an example or display of a genuine conversion to God. The second man, he has a ribbon of blue. And he gives us a picture of our pilgrim character. Not an earth dweller, but belonging to heaven. And the third man is a Nazarite unto the Lord. His separation is unto the Lord. And I would like to show you, brother, what God thinks of that man's separation. What he does with his hair. The older I get, the more interested I am in what God thinks, not just what the brethren think. I've got about 5 minutes for each man, so I'll have to move back. Naaman. I'm not going into the detail. I take it for granted. Saints here know the story. I want you to notice down the chapter, 2 Kings 5, we might just read from verse 17. Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. And now I'm sure we all know what it means to convert. If you travel, as lots of the saints do nowadays, about the first thing you'll do when you get to England is change your money into the English pound so that you can do business. You convert it over into the money of the country. And I think we have in Naaman a true picture of conversion. He goes down, as you know, a leper. He goes down to God's country, to God's ground, an unbeliever. But he goes down and finds, through humiliation and repentance, that there's a way of cleansing. He finds there's a true God, that the God he served in Syria were nothing. And he comes back a changed man. And he says to Elisha, from now on, I'm done with the old way. I'm done with the idol. And he says, if I have to even go in with the master to his idol, Lord, forgive me, my heart isn't it. Now that's good. I think there's most of us here tonight, today, this afternoon. I guess we're all calling it night, it's still morning yet. But this morning, every one of us here usually, as you meet the saints, you take it for granted they have a story to tell. Now that's good, brethren. We expect that. But that isn't enough. That's good as far as it goes, but lip testimony isn't enough. You remember on the pre-garment, there was a bell and there was a pomegranate. There was a bell and a pomegranate all around the people. For every bell, there was a fruit of Aaron. And Naaman says, I'm done with the old. But I look for something more from Naaman. He's about to leave Elisha. He says, I'll tell you what I want. I want 2 mule cartloads of God's soil. I'm going to take it back to Syria. I don't know where this man ever read in Exodus 20 that God said he could make an altar of earth. But he must have known something about it. And Naaman says, when I go back, I want to take 2 cartloads of that soil, God's soil. And I don't know, maybe my wife says sometimes my imagination gets carried away, but I can sit here and see Naaman down there on that little altar of earth.
and he's worshiping provision, and he's blessing the God who cleansed it, and he's praising God. There's one voice down in Syria, and I was never there before, and he's a believer. He's a worshiper. What has happened? He's been converted, and he's proof of it. He's not only the lip testimony, but he builds an altar, and everybody sends to him. Others may go to their idols, but here's one man. He's unique. He's a worshiper of the true God, and he has this altar. He has God's earth, and he bows down on it, and he prays to the living God. Oh, I love that, friend. Because, you see, there's a sham today all around. There's some saying, give your heart to Jesus, and going on serving the devil the same as ever. And it's a real thing to be born of God. Born of the Spirit of God. Made a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new ambition. A new course in life. Turned about. That's what it means to be converted. Oh, yes, you have the lip testimony. That's good. But that isn't enough. There has to be the fruits of that. And Naaman says, I've got the evidence. I brought God's land right back here in Syria to show that I am a worshiper of the true God. Conversion. Now, the second man, would you look quickly at number 50? You're in Numbers already this morning. I'll turn you back there for a minute. Number 15. We have the pilgrim character. Here's a man, and you'll notice the story here. Before God gives him the ribbon of blue, there's something very sad happens in Israel. Something that evidently Moses, nor even the blessed God, anticipated, that a man would willfully go out on the Sabbath day and pick up sticks. That was willful disobedience. And when it happened, well, Moses said, what are we going to do with this man? Well, they waited till they got an answer from God. They put him in the jail. We call it today until they got an answer. God says the man must die. No doubt the very thought of picking up sticks to make a fire is contrary to the thought of God's Sabbath, a place of rest. You see, the man was going in contrary to the mind of God, the very purpose of the Sabbath, the day of rest. Now, what does God do in his grace so this won't happen again? Well, notice now, in Numbers 15, in verse 32, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man, gathered sticks on the Sabbath day, so on. They put him in ward. I told you about that. Look down at verse 38. Verse 37, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes, or borders, borders of their garments to their generation, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribband of blue. It shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it. Remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, that you seek not after your own hearts and your own eyes, after which ye used to go whoring, that ye may remember to do all the commandments and be holy unto your God. I want you to picture this man, and he walks out this day, he forgets God's claims upon him, and he walks out without any exercise to pick up a stick, and he looks down, and he sees the ribbon of blood, and he must reach out over that, in disobedience, before he picks up that stick. See how God gives. Well, he looks down and he says, others may do this, but I can't. I belong to Jehovah. The Lord has claims upon me. Others may go their way, but I must obey the Lord. And he put a great preacher, the ribbon of blue. I wonder if we're all wearing it today. You know, Paul is weeping in Philippians 3. Why is it? There are some that were earthbound. They were just walking as men. Their God was their belly. I ask myself sometimes, I look around, what different am I in my ambitions and my priorities than the man of the world? Oh, brethren, we glory to stand. And we got all on the ribbon of blue. I don't know what you think of it, but I've wondered if that wasn't what the woman saw when she touched the hem of his frock. I'm sure she must have seen this as a heavenly match. And he was only the only true man that could wear the ribbon of blue, the man from heaven. And by faith, he says, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be cleansed. He got the blessing. Brethren, sad to say, we're an awful lot like the men of the world. Ambition, desire, we've forgotten the ribbon of blue that our citizenship is in habit. For which also we wait for the faith. May God preserve us in settling down in a world that's full of fire. Isn't it solemn that you and I were, God had us in mind before worlds were made. Our names were written in heaven before the world was created. Here we are, the fruit of this fabulous thought. God forbid that we should become like those that are going down different. Brother, we're going a different way. Our path is an asset. You remember the Song of Solomon, he was singing, going up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. But the wicked, it's a downward path. Brother, let us not copy. The great thing today is to see a Christian, a young Christian, and I would like to throw a challenge out to you, dear brother and sister. Dare to be different. Dare to take a stand. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose right. And dare to make it known. The ribbon of blue, I belong to heaven. I'm just trying to be true. The last one, number 6. As he's a Nazarite, separated unto the Lord. Verse 18, what I'm interested just now is not going into this so much as to show you what God thinks of a man's separation. We're pretty afraid of that word today, brethren. Whether you talk of sanctification or separation, it's the same thing. But this man, his separation was under the law. There was no cold legal thing about it. It was the devotion of his heart in love to his Lord. He takes a stand and dares to be dead. Notice, in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves and make a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, shall separate himself from wine, strong drink, to drink no vinegar, wine, or vinegar, strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, or eat moist grapes, or dry. All the days of the separation that is nothing that is made of the fine seed from the kernel seed to the husk. So on, verse 18. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of the separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of the separation, put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall take the sodden soul of the ram, one leavened cake, out of a basket, and one unleavened wafer shall put them on the hands of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is
finished. Here's a man who's taken a vow of separation unto the Lord. He's not to take any wine, anything that excites nature. You notice he shall drink no vinegar or wine or strong drink. And so on. He'll be separated unto the Lord. And then he had his hair that was long because he'd taken a vow.
Now we know, dear saints of God, what the Word of God says today about long hair. It was a spiritual thing here today to change for a man to have long hair. And I just say in passing, God never intended, dear brother, that you look like a woman. Or, dear sister, God never intended that you look like a man. There's something obnoxious to me to see a man that looks fat. God never intended that. It's abomination to him. God made a difference between the male and the female, and we can keep them distinct. But here, you see, there's a spiritual truth. This man was willing not only to turn away from anything that excites nature of the flesh, and he was willing to be, if you call it, swear in the eyes of the world, that he might be separated in devotion unto the law. You know what God said
to Israel and he called them out. He said, Israel should dwell alone. Now, people, so he went away. And when they were separated unto the Lord, there was not a thousand couldn't stand before. But what happened? Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. A good mixture. What is the next thing? Strangers have devoured his flesh, and he knew it. Gray hairs, deterioration, had come in. Then he said, well, what a few of our brethren out here have got a few gray hairs to tell their ages. But deterioration spiritually had come in, and they knew it not. Rivals, they failed in their separation unto the Lord. Oh, you say, well, the Lord, it don't mean so much. As long as I'm active in the gospel and doing something, it don't matter if I'm a good mixture, I can go into this and that. Now let me notice, that's the point I want to close with here, is the time is gone. What does God think of a brother and sister that are separated under the law? What if it turns us back on a godless world and say, I'll take my stand and be the prophet Jesus? What does God think of it? Or what does God think of it? He says, God says, that hair is so precious to me. I want you to take it and lay it on your own. I want you to put it right on the peace offering. Now, brethren, you know what burnt hair smells to you, guys, but not. God says, that man's separation is so precious to me, I want it to drop his incense. Lay his long hair right on the peace offering. I want it to drop before me as incense. Now, that's what the blessed God thinks of your separation. You say, well, I can't take the promise. I should be up like Lot, sitting on the fence, just half and half. You'll never bring any pleasure to the blessed God if you're not separated under the law. The Lord says, this long hair is just like this. Put it on the altar. It goes up to God as a sweet smelling cake. Isn't that something to do for a brethren? First, a genuine conversion to God. Not only the next testing of the life saved. I put on the ribbon of blue. I'm a heavenly character. I'm walking through earth and we have to make a living here, but I belong to heaven. And I have different ambitions, I have different desires than the man of the world. And I even smile once in a while, most intense smile today. I had a man tell me the other day, he says, I thought maybe he was a Christian. He says, you smile once in a while. I thought maybe there must be a lot of sour to say. Anyway, you should have on the living of living. Lastly, separated onto the law, not a cold legal thing. Brethren, I believe some of them really sincere today are trying to hold things for God. They're trying to do it in the energy of the flesh. Like Jacob, they raised the pillar, but they forgot that Jacob poured oil on the pillar, holding the truth of God in the power, in the warmth of the Holy Spirit. Oh, brethren, that's what we need. Men that love God's truth and love the assembly. And they love the Lord. And they're in fellowship with God. And you can feel the warmth of it. And when they speak, there's an attraction and a power and a joy. May God give us the way of the ribbon of leaves. And then to know, to see things as God sees them. And God says, that separation of that brother or that sister is up to me as we then say, put it on the altar. May the Lord.